Amen. God's been so good to us, and I appreciate His goodness and His kindness. And the Lord loves everybody. He loves prisoners, people that are sick. In fact, He said, I was in prison, and He told some folks you wouldn't even visit me. And I was sick, you didn't check on me, and I was hungry, you didn't feed me. He said, well, we don't remember any of that. He said, if you don't do it to the least of these, and you hadn't done it to me, and if you have done it to the least, you've done it to me. Praise God. So if you want to bless Jesus, bless those that He died for. He loved the whole world, died for. Amen. Praise God. The other week, there's a man, Brother Jerry Green's church, Brother Barnes, in Port of Texas. I'd preached over sometime a year or so ago, and I'd mentioned something about a man that had been helped in our church. He'd been in prison, and he'd been pardoned, and we'd helped him. He found out about it, and he called me, and he wanted help. He'd been in prison. He was released and then prayed through and was going to Brother Green's church. And I said, I'll do what I can. So I called Governor Edwards, and it happened to be right in the middle of when he was fixing to take off on a honeymoon. And he got married recently, as you know. And he called back about 45 minutes after I'd called him. And I was across the street. Wife's mother's house, they said, we'll get him. And he said, tell him to call back. And I called back, and he said, he's gone upstairs to rest. And so I tried every day for several days and kept warting them folks there, and then found out, I read in the paper, that he got married. They should go to Colorado, honeymoon. Well, he called me the other day, caught me off guard, said, what do you need, Reverend? I said, I need help. I got a man that's been in prison. He's broke his probation after he was released in Louisiana. Now live in Texas. He got in trouble over there. He's done served his time. Can't cross the state line. Can't come back to Louisiana. And we need to get him pardoned from this thing. I'm going to tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you can get a pardon, especially if God gives it to you. Governor told me what to do to contact the pardon board and have this man send an application for a full pardon. Said when he gets that done, you call me back. We'll do what we can. And I said, I'll do it. So I got to call him when I get back. The man's done filled out his application, sent it in. I feel like he's going to give him a full pardon. Brother Green says he's working outreach ministry, been faithful for about 2 years. And I believe the governor's going to give him a full pardon. You will if you can, and I appreciate that very much. I don't like his gambling, but I like his pardons. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. If it wasn't for God's mercy and kindness, every one of us, we'd be doomed for prison for eternity. We wouldn't have an opportunity in the world. God loves everybody. He loves the governor. I pray for him. He needs it. He needs it, Brother Trammell. I pray for it. He needs it. He's not going to run next time, but he needs prayer anyway. Amen. Praise God. We got a riverboat close to us. I don't like them. I don't like what they stand for. I don't like the purpose. But Jesus loves everybody that goes up the gangplank. He don't love their sins, but He loves that soul. They're lost in sin. God loves them. Amen. And just before we left, we went down to the courthouse, went in to see the district attorney, Rick Bryan. He's a friend, and we appreciate him. And I said, I don't want nothing. I come as another preacher with me. He was needing help. He was talking to the secretary. And he said, come on in the office. I said, we don't want to bother you. He said, you'll never bother. Come anytime. Went in and talked with him before we left. I said, Rick, if you don't mind, we want to have prayer for you. We laid hands on him and had prayer with him that God would help him direct it. This whole world needs God. I'm telling you, you need God tonight. I need Him more than I've ever needed Him before. Everybody in this world needs God, and the Lord loves everybody, whether you care a hoot about them or not. Jesus loves everybody!
Hallelujah. Well, let's give him a good hand of applause tonight. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
After the Apostle Peter was tippy-toeing around with the Gentiles and Brady is getting off his territory he ought to be on, away from the Jews and dealing with the Gentiles, and then he went out through different operations of the Holy Ghost and the moving of God's Spirit, and finally it dawned on Peter. He woke up and he said, "I perceive that God's no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." He got his eyes open. He realized he wasn't the only pea in the pod. He realized he wasn't the only feller Jesus Christ died for. He died for the whole world. Amen. He loves everybody. Amen. I leaned over, I told Brother Barnes, I looked back, I said, I saw this lady worshiping God back there. I said, "You got a black lady, and I see two or three there, and I'm glad to see you. We have a number we picked up." All right. Amen. I perceive God's no respecter of persons. Oh, hallelujah. I read a story a little. They was putting on an Easter drama at a certain church, and there's a little black boy that had a part in the Easter drama. And his part was to say at the proper time, "He's no longer here, he's arisen." And drama part was going along, it come time for him to speak. He jumped up, he said, "He ain't here, he's done gone from here." I'm going to tell you, that's the way it is too. Jesus is not here no more in the body, but he's done gone from here. And he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Praise God! Beside all that, the devil's allergic to prayer. Makes him nervous when somebody's praying. He can't stand it. He don't know what he's got. Whether it's a 7-year itch or something else. That's right. He don't know. Amen. I don't know whatever happened to the itch. How many of you folks ever heard of the itch? How many has had it within the last 10 years? It went out somewhere. I don't know where it went. I mean, to remember sulfur and grease they put on the stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Don't we have a time in Pentecost? I'm telling you. Praise God. You never know what a Pentecostal preacher is going to come out with. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I do want to say how much I appreciated your pastor and my pastor taking a weekend. I told Brother Trammell, I'd ask him to come. He said, "You'll do better than anybody else." You get him? So sure enough, I approached Brother Barnes. I was up here and asked him about coming. We wanted to just come spend a weekend. I knew he had Brother Trammell here, and I figured y'all could make it. He said, "Well, I'm kind of tied up right now." I said, "I didn't have in mind right now, maybe April or May." I I was set for him, boy. I mean, I knew what was coming. I was set for him. He looked at his calendar and said, well, I guess I could come then. And so he did. And our folks just loved it and appreciated it. We had a big day and just honored our elders. And at Brush Arbor, Brother Barnes said the air conditioned, no mosquitoes and all. But our folks, they enjoyed it, and we had overalls on and this and that and the other, and just reminiscing a little bit, and the folks enjoyed that so much, and they'd like for him to come back, and I would too. I don't know if I'll ever succeed in getting him again, but we really enjoyed it, had a good meal, the young people had prepared, and we enjoyed so much having Brother Barnes with us. Praise God. We're honored to be here. I'm reading in the book of Luke tonight in chapter 16. And these are not scriptures you've never heard before, but they bear repeating. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Sumptuously, costly, rich, magnificent every day. He lived a life of luxury every day. Not just occasionally, not when the check came the first of the month, not just on his birthday at Christmas time, but every day he lived luxuriously. Every day. Life of luxury. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. For the sake of time, I'm going to move on over to verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I'd like to use for a text for a little while this evening. One brother in hell and five on the way. Could we bow our heads? Brother Trammell, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, we thank you for the reading of the Word. We pray that you will fix our hearts tonight. We give you the glory, the honor for what we've already felt.
Praise God. One brother in hell and five on the way. This man that had died and lifted up his eyes in hell. It didn't take a lot of figuring on his part to surmise that his brothers had lived a life equally as horrible as he had, or more so. And I know we're not supposed to judge people, wrong judgments and so forth, but this man was faced with realities. Here he is in a burning lake of fire, hell, a place called hell. You know, we don't hear maybe as frequent preaching now about hell as maybe we used to and at times. I know it's still preached. We still believe it, but hell is just as hot as it's ever been. It's a place to be avoided as much as it's ever been avoided, and more so. It's a place that nobody desires to go to. Now, people I know off the cuff a lot of time, they'll tell you where to go. You ever heard anybody tell you where to go? I think we all have at one time or another. They get a little angry, mad or something. Say, go to wherever they're going to tell you to go to. And you know where it is. But God never prepared this place for you and me. Never prepared it for us. Didn't want us to go. Not willing, my brother from New Iberia, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance like you did. Wasn't His will you die in New Iberia and die and wind up where this brother was at in hell? Not His desire. Not willing. It's not His will. Anybody in this congregation would die and go to what we call a devil's hell. It's not a human being's hell, it's a devil's hell. As has been stated oft times, if you as a human being goes to hell, you'll go to hell as an intruder and not as an invited guest, especially by the Lord. Some people feel like God's just in the hell-sending business and He just at the snap of your finger, He's ready to send you to hell. No, He does everything in His power that He can to prevent you from going to hell. He makes arrangements for you. He allows you to hear the gospel as you have. You're mighty fortunate to have heard the gospel of truth and a plan of salvation and a way to escape the flaming flames of hell and an eternity of torment where this brother found himself out, and he said, I am in torments. I am tormented in these flames, and it's not the will of God that any one of you should go to hell. But unless we take advantage of what has been provided for us, the last one of us we'll wind up as an intruder in hell, and we'll never be able to blame God for doing it. We've done it ourselves. He's made every provision that He could possibly make for us. He has done everything to make it convenient and easy for us on our pathway from earth to glory. He has ministers that preach to us and Bible teachers that teach us the Word of God. He has people that sing to us and inspire us and encourage us to live for God. We come to the house of God. We have fellowship one with another, and we're able to encourage each other, and so much more as we see the day approaching, and I see it coming on so quickly. We're about to reach the year 2000. I don't know what's going to happen. Of all these gambling boats that's invading Louisiana, the whole world has gone mad, it seems like, and there's a Savior that's waving a banner and telling us, don't go to hell. It's not the will of God that any man should die and go to hell. But somehow we're going to have to get a hold of Jesus Christ and the nail-scarred hand, and we're going to have to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. One brother in hell, and as sure as he knew his name, he knew he had five back home. that are on their way. And he was in torment. He said, Father Abraham, if you could just somehow, if you could just get the word back, if you could just send Lazarus back there, if you could just go to my father's house and go in there, and there's the older brother, and there's the next one, there's the next one, maybe call their name. And if they just go and tell them, Bill and Joe and Jim and John and whatever the names were, if they just tell them, fellas, don't come to this place. I've already been here. I've already experienced it. It's horrible. It's torment. I don't want anybody to come to hell. I don't want anybody to suffer the eternal flames. Would you just send them back there and tell them? He said, well, they got Moses and the prophets back at your father's house. There's preachers back there. There's somebody to preach them the gospel. Listen, I'm going to tell you, it's not because it's not a gospel that's being preached today. You can hear the gospel if you want to. You can read the epistles. You can learn how to live for God. You can learn how to come out from the world and be a separate people if you want to. If you want to go on headstrong, butt-headed, have your own way and your own will, listen, God's ways are above our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. And we're going to have to forget our will. We're going to have to forget our way if we're going to please God. We're going to have to live holy. We're going to walk a straight and a narrow pathway if we ever hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. They got Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them hear them preachers back there. Oh, but if one rose from the dead, man, they'd see that Lazarus come alive and come back, and they'd believe then. Abraham corrected him, just like we'll have to be corrected if we get such ideas. We think if somebody be raised out of the cemetery out yonder and come marching through the streets of Minden and go up by the Civic Center and all around both streets in Maine downtown. If they come out of the cemetery, some well-known famous person, and walk the streets of De Quincey, man, they'd fill the church house up. They'd all get saved. They'd get ready to go to heaven and escape hell. No, sir. He said if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe if one rose from the dead. Listen, if you're waiting for something big happening to take place to save the world, you're mistaken, friend. We're going to have to look to Jesus. We're going to have to hear the gospel. We're going to have to obey the gospel. There's not but one gospel. There's not two and there's not three. Amen. It's just one gospel. Just one. It's so simple. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's not another in the whole Bible. That's it. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the gospel. That's it. Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, friend. That is the gospel. His death, His burial, His resurrection. And the Apostle Peter, he was so inspired on the day of Pentecost. And when the Spirit began to move on that bunch of people, and they started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And those people that heard them speaking in tongues, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter stood up with the other brethren, and he said, death or repentance, which is a type of the death of Jesus Christ. Repentance. Except you repent, Jesus said it, Peter said it, Paul said it, every gospel preacher since has said it, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You're going the way of the brother that found his way in hell. Except you repent,
Except you repent, you're going to perish. Next step, he said, and be baptized. Every one of you, every one of you in this congregation, be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm telling it like it is, in Jesus' name. I like that. I want to get a little closer. Oh, hallelujah! It's in Jesus' name and there is no other name. Amen. Devils believe in one God and trembles. One thing about it, you'll never find a Trinitarian devil. Every devil's a oneness devil in his belief. He knows who's God. He knows. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and 6, and is speaking about Jesus Christ, said he shall be called the Father, the Everlasting Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Mighty God. That's what he is. Jesus is God, manifest in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be baptized or be buried. The death, the burial, and resurrection, that is the gospel. Repentance is a type of the death of Christ. Water baptism in Jesus' name is a type of his burial. Praise God. And then, the resurrection is a type of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the tomb. The Holy Ghost is that resurrecting power that comes into our heart and in our life. So there's only one gospel. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, you Jews, it's unto you and to them that are far off. That is you and me, that is us Gentiles. We're a long way off. It's to you Jews and them that's afar off, the Gentiles, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call.